All right, lads, this week we've got no celebrity guest for once. It's just myself and Dave. So we talk about Everton, Ancelotti and England. Hope you stick around and I hope you enjoy. Thanks a lot.
I've just been reading then. Everton are approaching Christophe Galtier, the manager, former manager of Lille. He's just guided him to the league title. First league title in 10 years, fourth in the club's history. $9 million a year. I was just thinking to myself, that's such an Everton thing to do. I don't mean any disrespect to that, but do you remember when Everton signed Steve Walsh from Leicester?
Yeah.
And it was like, Steve Walsh has brought loads of great players to Leicester. Let's go and buy him. And they're looking at it now with this Galtier, he's just won the league with Lille. He'll win the league with Everton. Let's go and get him. And it's no. You're just reeling from the shock of Ancelotti leaving the club. And we can talk about him in a minute because you know how I feel about the situation, what he's done at Everton. But I don't think Christophe Galtier, who's just won the league in France, which is the least competitive league on the planet, and I'm on about championships more competitive than that, is the right move.
Championships are boss league, by the way, you know. No, it's classic. Classic Everton, isn't it? They've done success in place A that will automatically emulate to place B in our place. But when he got that Walsh, didn't he just hire him in the wrong position anyway? Wasn't he chief scout at Leicester and then they got him in as something different?
He was head scout or head of player operations for Leicester. And he bought him in, didn't he? And I'm sure they bought him in under this Marcel Brands.
Mm.
Apparently trying to sign Humphries from PSG, who's a right back, big powerful boy. I think he actually is Dutch. But with that, you're what are you trying to sign a right back for, mate? You haven't even got a manager. That's just that little nugget there, you think, hang on. But yeah, I think they put him in the wrong position, to be at the club, and the signings that he bought were just shit, Yannick Bolasie, David Klaassen, big money signings. As you said to me the other day about if we tried to sign Sigurdsson, the fee wouldn't have been what it was for them.
Well, just going back, I'd done an Instagram post on our page at Triggered Reds, shameless plug, and it was that Luis Campos. He's the sporting director, so the Damien Camolis of the world or whatever. And he's the brain behind Monaco's transfers from Bernardo Silva, Fabinho, Mbappe, bringing him through. And he's the brain behind Lille as well, selling you're on that Osem, who went to Napoli for 70 mil.
Yeah.
He signed Pepe for cheap, sold him to Arsenal. So again, it's if you get this Lille manager in, you sort of need Campos anyway. If you're going to go for Lille's model, you're basically signing the heart and not the brain, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a lot of it's Luis Campos, who's the genius behind it all. That Monaco team in 2017, fuck me, lad. Bernardo Silva, Mbappe, Fabinho. He got the best out of Falcao. He reignited them for what League One is. Semis in the Champions League. Don't know where they were in League One, but the players they had, even Bakayoko at the time, was doing well for them. And the money they made on all them players.
Yeah, well, he got his move, didn't he? As well, Bakayoko obviously just hasn't worked out for him. But
so that's the thing. Luis Campos, not so much the... I don't even know what the little manager's name is again. What did you say?
Christophe Galtier.
He's not a bad manager from what I've heard, because Lille's been under a lot of financial hardship. Even though they've made a lot of money, the owner's done bad deals and they've had to get loans out as well, just to keep the running of the club sustainable. So the manager's worked wonders in that respect, working under them conditions. But it's just a bit of that Everton logic again, It won't really work. It won't be as transferable as they assume hiring him. And without Luis Campos, again, I can't see it working.
Well, it's the same with, you look at us and Klopp and Edwards. Of course, Klopp's fantastic. But look at Klopp and look at Liverpool before Edwards was there. Do you know what I mean? Like he's a lot of our success is you know it's down to him. It's as simple as that. And I think with Everton, like they're going through a transitional period forever. It seems since David Moyes, they've only gone backwards. And you know Moyes didn't have the money and anything else then. And you know you got to think like he really did. Like honest to God, like he was fantastic for Everton. Used to hate playing them. But if Carlo Ancelotti's last name was Carlo Allardyce, he would have been sacked this year for a fact. If he was Sam Allardyce, the fans would have been calling for his head. Finishing 10th, goal difference of like plus one, finishing behind promoted teams. Like this, I said when we had that podcast with Jamie, the token blue nose we've had on, and I've said it to you a few times. No style of play under Ancelotti, defensive, shithousery football. Playing five centre-backs at one point, playing them at left-back and right-back.
Yeah.
Everton fans, honestly, I'm not even having a go here. I think it's a good move that Ancelotti's gone because I think the likes of him, the likes of Rafa, the likes of Mourinho, I don't think they can do it anymore at that level. I think they need to be the best club with the most money and the least amount of pressure. And in the Premier League, just to break into the top six, which Everton haven't done. They've spent half a billion and they're still not even in the top six. Not even top four, by the way, top six. I just think this is a perfect time for Everton to make a real good move and bring in somebody a bit left wing. But I think going for somebody who's just won the French League and having that logic where they'll do it here, I don't think that's the way. And I think Ancelotti going is a blessing in disguise because, as I've said in the past, Tuchel bought in a style straight away. We still don't know what Everton's style is. And, you know, I don't think we're going to find out anytime soon.
No. Well, there's an argument as well, isn't there? Would he have been sacked earlier in the year? Ancelotti, if it was a non-COVID era, so a full house in at Goodison Park. It's such an unquantifiable metric, though, because it's like, you can say the fans would have got on his case if they were losing their home to Fulham like they did. And we did, by the way, Liverpool. I'm not saying we're exempt or anything. Being a crazy year, you know, we lost six home games on the bounce, was it? And we finished third.
Everton lost more home games than Liverpool this season. It's staggering, really.
Would he have lasted the duration of the season had fans been in the stadium, number one? Because you know what Everton fans are like? Fucking hell, lad. Yeah. We were in tier two or whatever it was back in December. They had Man United in the FA Cup and they were booing them. Like, fucking hell. Like, so glad to be back. You know, you've been back in the stadium for the first
time. Half time, it was
in God knows how long. And you're booing your own players. You know, not even like, fucking hell, it's at least I'm back, like, watching the game. It was just boo. Like, I don't know. You know what their fans are like anyway. So do you think he would have lasted the duration of the season had they had a full house at Goodison Park?
The one thing I think with Ancelotti, because of the name, it was almost like, and this isn't saying Everton at Newcastle's level, not at all, but it was almost like when Rafa was at Newcastle, like Rafa could have done anything at Newcastle because it was Rafa, he would have got the time. And all I kept hearing at Everton was, he just needs a couple more transfer windows. He just needs a couple more transfer windows. Well, he's had two, hasn't he, I think?
Yeah.
What's mad is, who's that player? Like, is it Hinchcliffe or Trevor Stephen or something like that? He was commentating on a game and he was like, you know, Ancelotti loves it in Everton. He lives in Crosby. He walks the dog on the beach. And this was all like his rationale of why he's going to stay at the club. 2 weeks later, like, literally, Ancelotti moves to Real Madrid. And you're like,
walks his dog on the beach.
That was what he said, lad. That was one of the reasons why he likes the club. But I know, like, Ancelotti and his son, like Davide, they've had a bereavement, haven't they, recently? The former Mrs. Ancelotti, he's passed away. So the assistant manager of Everton was Ancelotti's son. Fergie was Alex Ferguson, fucking hell. They still wouldn't finish in the top six with him. But Duncan Ferguson was underneath Davide. His man's just died. So, like, Ancelotti, the Ancelottis have been over in Italy, like, you know, burying his mother and grieving and what have you. So he might have just thought, fuck this. Like, Real Madrid's comfortable. It's better for me over there. It's an easier job. I know the club, I've got success there already, I'm off. So that might have something to do with it, you just don't know.
Well, don't quote me on it as well, but hasn't he took a pay cut, like a 30% pay cut to join Madrid or something like that?
I do think he has, because I don't have the numbers of it, but I know he was one of the top paid managers in world football being at Everton.
Yeah.
And obviously being at Madrid, you've got pressure, whereas you've got pressure, like if you don't win a Champions League in like two seasons or a league in two seasons, you're deemed as a failure, aren't you?
Definitely, yeah.
But he knows them players, and he's like a Mourinho type manager where he won't be a great coach. He'll just be a great man manager. So he'll be able to manage the elite level egos because of what he's done in the game. Whereas like a Scott Parker is probably better around the training ground. He can probably show you more. He's probably better at coaching players to do things. At Everton, he just hasn't got the quality to do that, has he? And that's probably where he's thought, this is going to be too long. I'm too old. Let's just get back to Madrid.
Well, I wouldn't even say Duncan Ferguson falls under that Scott Parker category. Obviously, he does as a former player, but, you know, like, could he really teach a midfielder how to, like, maybe control a game and stuff like that at their own pace, whereas Parker could? I know that's a proper specific point, but you know what I'm getting at? Like, what would Ferguson's best attribute be as a coach? Would it just be to strikers? Make a nuisance, lad. Like, get up there and just cause a nuisance.
Well, he has done it for Dominic Calvert-Lewin, hasn't he? I think that's evident in his game, that like Ferguson got a grip of him and, you know, made him more physical, made him more robust. And I think if Ferguson was going to get the chance at Everton, he would have got it by now. I don't think he's going to get the chance at Everton. And, you know, when they brought in Ancelotti, it was like, you know, it seemed like in the contract, Ferguson had to stay. And because he's part of Everton's ethos and mentality and they love him. But he's not going to get the chance to coach Everton. Honest to God, if I was Everton, I'd get Moyes back.
On my point there with Ferguson, it's obviously like a straw man opinion because he's a former pro. He knows how to fucking play the game better than me, of course.
But a 10-year-old child knows how to play the game better than you.
and a 10-year-old girl at that. But what was I going to say? But I agree with you. And it's the same for us, isn't it? We've said, I agree with you on the Moyes thing, by the way. It's the same for us when we've said, what manager would you get in if Klopp left? I don't know whether to save this for a different podcast, but with Everton, I would get Moyes back as well. Because like you say, the cry was always, if Moyes had money, we'd be in place X. You can't really say that. It's like saying he would have won the European Cup post-Heysel. I don't know if he would have. You still had like Milan, Real,
Ajax, Barca,
Juventus, Liverpool, if we wouldn't have got banned or all that. But that's another topic. But I mean, you can't say where they'd finish higher if Moyes would have had the money. You just don't know these things. It's a bit baseless to say that, I think. But I agree with you. I would go for Moyes again. I think some of the transfers he's made at West Ham have been quality. You know I like that Jared Bowen. So he might bring a couple of players in from West Ham with him. I guarantee he'd get Lingard. Guarantee. And their fans would fucking love him as well. He'd probably turn up. He'd probably turn up at Everton.
He'd probably be like a Tim Cahill type, wouldn't he? Like, you know, one of them cult heroes who gets big goals in big games. And I just think with him, he knows the club inside and out. He got shat on at Man United. He's done great. He done good at West Ham the last time he was there. I don't know why he got sacked or left on mutual consent or what have you, but what he's done this season, you know, he's done really well. And that Bowen signing, as you say, such a Moyes signing, like, you know, a bit of an unknown, bringing him in from a lesser side, if you like. So it would make sense to go for somebody like that. Now, I know Everton would be like, no, a lot of Everton fans would have it, and a lot of them would be like, no, it's a step back. We want to play a certain style of football. You didn't play a certain style of football under Ancelotti. You played sensational football under Martinez and you hated them and wanted them sacking because it's about results at the end of the day. At least if you get in Moyes, he's already got that legendary status at the club.
They've got this like a self-righteousness of they're automatically, they've got the right to not get Moyes because they feel like they've surpassed that. When I don't see... Just because you go backwards in hiring a manager from like yesteryear doesn't mean you're regressing, though, in my opinion.
Not like, at all. Like, even Moyes could do good for Tottenham. But he doesn't play the right football. And for ages, like, we had it with Rodgers where the football was fantastic. And I remember me and you having a conversation and saying, fucking hell, give me Jose Mourinho any day of the week as long as you win a fucking trophy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And great football, which Liverpool play and City play and Chelsea are starting to play, it's good. It's all well and good. But if you don't win any, it means nothing.
Well, that was always the cry with us, wasn't it? Like, we'd play quality and we draw 1-1. And then it'd be like, if we get him in that position and we do that, or if we would have had this go our way. And it was a bit like we were a bit Everton like ourselves, the way we'd moan. And it was like, just got to that point where I just wanted someone to get us over the line. Or like with us as well, I was tired of having title pushes finishing second, then falling off a cliff for 4 years. I'd rather finish third every year, at least build on that momentum. But yeah, to just finish on Everton, I'd go for Moyes. They linked with Graham Potter, but he's worked wonders at Brighton for what Brighton are. But again, it's that logic similar to the Lille manager. It's just assuming that what he's done at Brighton will cross over and continue to emulate at Everton, which I just don't... I can't see it. Like, you know, I just can't see it. And as we've said, they've spent $500 million in that time, which is a lot. But then again, it's not, is it, compared to the other six or the big five? So for Everton and their fans to keep saying, we've spent this much, blah, 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 we've got the money there. I think a lot of the times they go for a player and it'll be like, okay, we can't get Sergio Ramos on a free even. You know, we can't get Ramos. So what we'll do is we'll pay 30 million, and I don't know if this is the fee, don't shoot me, but we'll pay 30 million for Ben Godfrey or 20 million. We can't get that established player, so we'll pay over the odds for the domestic prospect. It does seem like they're doing that. Like Sigurdsson, is he rated at 40 million at the time? In my opinion, I reckon we could have got him if we wanted to sign him. We could have got him for 32 million. And it would have been a deal. I don't even know if they pay up front or if they do the staggered deals like we tend to do. I reckon if we wanted Richarlison from Watford, we could have got him for 35 million. This is just my opinion. Might not be the case, but Richarlison for 50 million. Sometimes it just feels like Everton are happy to just match what the transfer market says rather than actually wheeling and dealing. Obviously, there's a marker. You've got to pay what the status quo is. But I just feel as if they'll sign any player after time who's had a half-decent year for a big fee just to be in the conversation.
Well, I think you're right. And I think the Potter, I'll just touch on that first before the transfers. The Potter situation, it'd just be like Martinez all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
With a young up-and-coming manager who might do well or might not do well or might, you know, you're guaranteed an identity and a style with Graham Potter, just like you are with Harry Potter. But I think, like, yeah, with them, they've done the established thing, like, with Tuchel. But Ancelotti. But go and get someone that's established but is young. Like, you don't need an Ancelotti-type manager.
Eaglesman, perhaps, or...
Who?
Nagelsmann.
Yeah, like a name like that, like a Nagelsmann, like a Tuchel. You know, a name where you know the name and you know what they've got, experience and a calibre in Europe.
Yeah.
But to break into the top six, let alone the top four, let alone winning the league, you need to have an identity and a style of play, and they just haven't got it. And then coming on to the transfers, I think you're right. Like, don't get me wrong, I think Godfrey's a great player. He's had a great season. But they paid 25 million, and as you say, there's the cat. I don't know where. As you say,
hello, lad.
Oh, lad. Get that. As you say, with little blooper there, with the players that are mediocre, that they pay over the odds for. Like, look at Yannick Bolasie, lad.
I know.
Like, isn't he still at the club? And they paid like 38 million, and he literally has been the biggest shitbag of a signing ever, and he doesn't even play. Like, they've had it with loads of players, like, Umar Nias, he just froze him out, didn't even give him a locker, and then he scored two or three goals and he was back in the squad. Bolasie, like these type of player, Davy Klassen, you think to yourself, like, all right, yeah, you know, they're not massive deals, but why did he keep changing managers? And why is Marcel Brandt still safe? Because no disrespect to them, but they haven't got any fucking world class sponsors, have they? Hummel and Kazoo. Like, fucking hell, what the fuck's Kazoo?
They've got Angry Birds on the sleeve, though.
Well, don't forget that. But commercially, they haven't progressed either. So, you know, maybe, you know, you might have had the right manager with Ancelotti, you might have had the right manager with whoever, but he might not be the right guy. He's already trying to sign right backs when they haven't even got a manager.
The best commercial deal he's probably done is James Rodriguez because of his social following.
But that was just Ancelotti, though, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. What was I going to say there? Who's the longest serving manager after Moyes then? Is it Martinez?
Overall?
Yeah. After Moyes, who's the longest serving
manager? Howard Kendall's the longest serving manager, isn't he?
No, sorry. Post Moyes era.
Martinez, yeah.
That's another thing with them. Like, if they get this next manager in, I know Ancelotti left them, they didn't sack him, but you've got to be giving the guy at least 4 years, I think, as well. Like, when the going gets tough, don't just sack him. Stick with him in a way as well. But you said Martinez played good football, and he did. Like, but I always thought they were a bit route one with Barkley and Lukaku under him. They played that 4-5-1, and a lot of the game plan just followed. A lot of the game plan was around Barkley running off Lukaku and vice versa. If you stop the passes getting to them, you beat Everton. This is going back like 7 years ago. Koeman didn't do anything, did he? Like, he made all them signings. And I remember in work, one fellow was like, we've got that many captains now. Like, leadership's just not a thing for us. And then he finished like eighth or ninth or something like that. So maybe even lower, I don't know. But it's just best to get, like you said, I'd go for Moyes and I'd be looking at Moyes. You've got him for at least 4 years, despite who that would piss off in the Everton fan base. Like, who else is there really? We've mentioned Nagelsmann. I liked Leonardo Jardim at Monaco, but again, he had that Luis Campos behind him. So, I don't know. I agree. I'd go for David Moyes, despite how unpopular it would be. And not that anyone will comment on it, like Everton fans, but if they do, tell us why you wouldn't go for Moyes. Like, seriously, what are the cons for Moyes? I know there is going to be cons, but why wouldn't you go for Moyes? Why would you go for Graham Potter over David Moyes?
Well, it's all you've got to ask yourself is, what season would you have rather have watched this year? West Ham's or Everton's?
Yeah.
That's it. And look what West Ham have done. And look at the players they've got. They've got very inventive, very forward-thinking players. And just to, you know, close on Everton, because I know we want to touch on England, and you're going to share your team next so we can have a little look at that. I just think they're in a position now where they've got this Brands who's pulling all the strings, and, you know, for me, he's pulling the wrong strings. I don't think they've got the signings right, really, since he's been in there. And if you bring in a Moyes, Moyes has proven he can work alongside people like that, because he's had issues with people at West Ham. I believe that is one of the reasons he left them the first time around. I think he'd be really good for them. And, you know, there's other managers out there, isn't there? But I just think, yeah, it's a bit of a mad one. But in closing on that, I do think it's a blessing in disguise that Ancelotti's gone. And also, it's a massive wage bill down too, isn't it?
No, that's it. I think he was on 15 million a year or something like that. And the plus thing with him, with Ancelotti, is you don't have to pay him off, do you? Because he's left on his own accord.
Yeah.
So that's obviously good for them as well. Not much else to say on Everton there, is there?
No, definitely not. But if you pull up that your England side, I'll have a look at it and give me 2 cents worth on it. And see what you think.
It's a bit redundant now, though, because it's like, since then, Trent's been injured and I had him in the team. I'm just on that website now. It's a bit redundant because, like I say, I had Trent in the team and now he's injured.
Yeah, but it's not like that the view from the Wirral, is it, lad? Yeah. It's not like
nice, you know, I'd move there if it was.
It's not like what team you'd like. It's just your team, innit?
Yeah.
Hope there's no porn on the right hand side of the screen there.
There will be. Well, basically, This
Who's
was
that? Who's that at number five? Our wing back.
Let me just explain before everyone slates it to pieces, because obviously incoming. But this was before Southgate released the team. Okay. So he didn't even release the squad at this point. So Wan-Bissaka's not even in it. Trent's being injured. So what I'd do now is I had two fullbacks here with Maguire. And they were defensive minded fullbacks and they were all Man United fullbacks. So I thought, well, that'd be a decent defence. You've even got the goalie there, even though Man United aren't the best at the back. But I thought, rather than have centre back, I've got two fullbacks here in Trent and Chilwell that would act as left and right midfielders, yeah. Hugging, getting crosses in. And then I'd have these two that could also cover the space here and here as defensive fullbacks / centre backs. Now, Wan-Bissaka's gone, Annie, so it doesn't really matter. So this number five will be Kyle Walker and Trent will be replaced by Trippier now. Everything else would be the same. You're on it?
On it, yeah.
Since then as well, I'd take Rashford out for Grealish. Okay. And it'd be more like this. So they'd come in here. I don't like Harry Kane as the dedicated striker. So it'd be more like the fullback here, Chilly and Trippier would come up. These two here, which would be Kyle Walker and Luke Shaw, would operate here. And I'd probably swap. I don't know, like Henderson hasn't played, has he? So it'd be
Jude Bellingham for them.
What's that?
He's played Henderson.
Jude Bellingham had, well, no, I mean he hasn't played for Liverpool though.
Oh, like, sorry.
Jude Bellingham had a good season, so maybe him, but then it's like there's not much leadership in the team except for Maguire and Kane. And Mason Mount's basically just the false nine, if anything. Like, I couldn't, if in his peak, if this was 2 years ago, I'd have Vardy up top. So you got to use a lot of imagination with this now, because this was done like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And obviously, we didn't plan today's episode. We just sort of done it. So I haven't had time to get a team ready, but basically, I'm going for that formation, what you see there. But if the fullbacks would overlap and be right and left midfielders, this would be Grealish now, not Rashford. Foden. Kane. Because I like Kane deeper than a striker. Trippier. We know how to spell Trippier. It'd be like that. Can you see all that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you'd have to play Henderson there, wouldn't you, instead of Bellingham?
Well, Rice is playing as well, isn't he?
Or maybe you could have Bellingham for Grealish, but Grealish makes stuff happen. But I just think Harry Kane's more of like a... He's like a number 10 now who drops back even further. So, I mean, what's your opinion on it? Like, what would you... Obviously, it's impromptu. We haven't had time to do anything, so feel free to slate it apart, like...
Yeah, I think it's shit. I think it's mad. It's definitely unorthodox playing three. You know, you're playing one centre back in the team, aren't you? And I get the system, obviously. You know,
Walker and Shaw are good defensive fullbacks, aren't they? That was me thinking.
Well, Walker often plays in the back three when we play back three, doesn't he? Because he's got the pace to cover. Obviously, Maguire might not be fit either, so, you know, there'd have to be an amendment there. Ben White took Trent's place in the England squad, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So that's obviously a change. I think I like Kane for Tottenham in that position, you know, where you've got him playing.
Yeah.
But for England, especially when Trent was on the pitch, like Trent and Shaw's had a great season. But they played Trippier at left back and Trent at right back in one of the games I was watching the other day.
Oh.
And Kane was nowhere to be seen in the box. And you're like, with those two on the pitch, the delivery they've both got, you need to have a recognised striker, because we were whipping him crosses low, high, whatever, and he just wasn't there. No, I prefer him in that position for Tottenham, but not for England.
DCL there.
Again, yeah, I was, you know, watching DCL the other day. He leaped, he'd done a vertical leap. And it was 6 foot tall because he landed on the head of the centre back. And they give him a foul, and I think they booked him. And it was like, why have you booked him? All he's done is jump. It wasn't a foul whatsoever. For me, I'd have him, as it stands right now, I'd probably have Luke Shaw at left back. I'd have Trippier at right back because Atleti have just won the league, haven't they? And he plays for them. So he's probably, you know, got a bit of confidence going for him at the minute. And I'd have Stones and Walker at centre back. I'd play Henderson and Rice in the midfield with Grealish, Mount and Foden, and I'd start Kane.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That'd be a good a good team as well. The thing is with England, knowing the defenders, the centre backs are shit. It's like Harry Maguire's the best of a bad bunch, arguably.
Yeah.
John, I sent that to our Jamie and he said he'd have John Stones there. He'll just fuck up. He's shit.
I'd have him in there now just because of his experience and City won the league. But that's why I'd have Kyle Walker next to him because
he's Walker's a liability, though, isn't he, lad?
Yeah, but Walker's got the pace to cover for him when he does fuck up. But what are the options? You'd have Tyrone Mings starting with you because Stones is starting.
That's why I'd that's why it is an unorthodox formation, mine, and that's why I went with fullbacks in a back three because I think defensively Shaw and Kyle Walker are better than Stones defensively.
Yeah, they definitely are. But
positional wise, the quicker
Walker potentially, but you know, in a million years that'd never happen. Like people just think that way about football, but. I agree with you. I think Shaw's had a great season as well. Arguably, out of that whole team, he's probably in the top three for consistent performances all year.
Yeah.
And I was watching an article today about Grealish, and I was texting the lads today. You've probably seen it.
Not yet.
It was my fucking head in the way we put players up on pedestals and they're raving.
Yeah.
Raving about Grealish. Just let him fucking play. They're talking about him like he's Messi for England. And apparently, according to Matt, we're second favourites to win the tournament. Based on what?
I thought we were favourites.
I know, I think France are favourites, aren't they?
Right. Okay. Based
on what? How are we favourites to win the Euros?
Don't know. We got to the semis of the World Cup.
It's baseless, doesn't it?
It's England as a collective now. And, you know, I'm a patriot. Like, I do support the team and that. I sing the anthem every morning, but it's like, I do support England. You know, I'm not one of these Liverpool fans who are happy when a Liverpool player withdraws from the squad. And it's the same for the players. Like, you know, they're gutted and you know, they're made up, you know, they're gutted when they can't play and you know, they're made up when they're picked for England. But the whole, at the minute with Southgate and this young side, they've got so much more praise than they deserve. Like, did he get an MBE after that World Cup?
I think Harry Kane did as well.
It's like, for what? And the reason I say this, and people might, if they've even listened to this point, they might be like, how can you not give England credit for the 2018 World Cup run? Well, all they done was they done what the previous generations never did. And that was like in 2010, we drew 0-0 with Algeria. We should have beaten them. And all this team would do differently to that, they would beat Algeria. So all we done in that World Cup was we beat who we should have beaten on a ranking basis. In the group, we played Belgium, didn't we? We lost. We put our B team out against their B team. Their B team beat ours. Then after that, we drew with Colombia, beat them on penalties. Then we beat another team that we should have beaten anyway. We get to the semi, Sweden it was. We get to the semis and we face Croatia. A 50-50 game and we lose.
And then we got beat by Belgium in the third place playoff.
Yeah, their A team in this time, it's Belgium's A team, beats our A team. So the World Cup to me in 2018, we beat fucking cannon fodder who we should have beaten. And every time we stepped up to a team that was equal to us, not better, equal, we lost, we choked. And then it's like the whole media is like, haven't they done well? I'm watching it thinking, what? Like, this is a joke. This is a fucking joke.
It's typical British mentality to celebrate mediocrity, isn't it, these days? And I think the only saving grace with this team is you've got a Foden, you've got a Mount, you've got a Grealish. You've got players that are going to ask different questions than the team that we had in 2018. The team that we had in 2018 was very robotic. And don't forget how many fucking penalties we got as well. Do you know what I mean? It's not like we tore teams apart.
It's the only reason Kane was top scorer. The penalty.
I know. I think he got honestly do think he got something from the Queen, like an OB or an MBE, whatever it is. And I thought he's just got an award from the Queen for scoring 5 shots from 12 yards out. Like, what the fuck do we celebrate? You know, people in the fucking war fighting for our freedom and liberty, and we celebrate, you know, mediocrity, as you say. But, you know, I sound like a bit of an England, like, anti-England. I'm really not. I'm like you. You know, I want us to do well. I
want
to support the country, and, you know, I'm patriotic about England. Obviously, I love Liverpool more. That's just, it is what it is, isn't it? You just support your club more. But I just thought, I'm like you, I just wish for once the media would fuck off and just not, like, put them up on a pedestal and let them play and just see what happens. And you know what? Gareth Southgate wasn't even he wasn't even earmarked for the job. He was only in temporarily, and then he did all right and they give him the job.
I think he's in a more of a false position than Solskjaer. For the stick Solskjaer gets, he was... You know, Southgate's obviously an England international going back to the 90s, but Solskjaer's played under Ferguson for 20 years or something. The best manager, like, since fucking Shankly, probably.
For the cups he's won.
Yeah, he's won. He's, you know, he's trophy laden. Just thinking of that sending message later. We'll tell you about that another time. But, Bolo's ending slid into our DMs. But I just think Solskjaer, at least he's done it. I say he's done it. He got relegated with Cardiff. But he's got more experience than Southgate. They're both shit. But for people to criticise Solskjaer in a false position, fucking hell, mate. Is there anyone being in a more false position than Southgate managing this crop of players? Like,
one good thing for Southgate is he's not managing any big, big players. I know that sounds mad, but he hasn't got any superstars in that team.
They're not egos, are they?
And a lot of them.
Harry Kane is a world quality player, like one of the best. Yeah. I think for me, Harry Kane, this personal opinion, top 5 in the world. But he's not an ego.
No. He's not like a Rio Ferdinand or a John Terry, is he?
And
I think a lot of the thing with Southgate is he's had these lads in the academy. So he's got that relationship with them, which builds, you know, it makes for a better team spirit and everything else. But I think that's like his saving grace. I don't think he's a fantastic tactician. When I watch England play, I don't think we play fantastic football. Like, the warm-up games have been dire.
I know. Well, this is it, innit? This is it. I don't think
we get past the quarters. I don't know what you think.
Hard to say, because they've added teams to the tournament, but the qualities, like... They've not added like better teams. They've increased it by 8 teams, but the teams are shit. Like, North Macedonia are in it. Who aren't a bad side. Like, I watched a bit of them against Germany, and they beat Germany, actually, I think. But they're just adding it for more games. So the quality's not really increased. So it's hard to say where we will finish based on that. It depends, though, lad, because it's like we might get to the quarters, and if we get an easy run, then we'll probably get to the semis like we did in 2018. But if we get Italy in the round of 16, we're probably out. That's the key for me.
Any of them teams we are, like Italy, Portugal, France, Germany, Spain.
Well, I'm going to go for Portugal to win it again. I just think they're less reliant on Ronaldo, and they've even got a better team than 2016. You know, Jota. Bruno Fernandes, I know he scores a lot of pens, but they didn't have a Fernandes back in 2016, did they? So I think for me, I'm going for Portugal again. They know how to do it. They always get far, and they've still got Ronaldo. But that's the thing for me. If England get in Italy and actually beat them in a knockout stage, like 2-0 or 3-1, then I'll be like, fair play, Southgate. Fair play. But you can't just keep beating Austria like 2-0. The game's shit. Like I said before, I'm a patriot, but it's hard to get out of bed for that, innit?
lad, if we get to the semis, you probably get a knighthood. Like if we play Italy, we lose that game in the national anthem. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like Italy would be fucking raging, well up for it.
Yeah,
and we'd just be like, God save the Queen. Like it's so fucking basic when he's singing, it's embarrassing. I'd rather he didn't sing if that's how they're gonna go for it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With us, you're totally right. And it probably brings it to a natural end, like today's one, because it is just a bit of an off the cuffer, as we've said. But you come up against one of them teams, you might get lucky. You might manage to get through. But if you beat the cannon fodder, you should be beating the cannon fodder. There's no surprise, and you don't deserve a pat on the back for beating a team that are fucking ranked like 70 places behind you in the world rankings. So I think quarterfinals is probably the best they'll get to. And I think you're right. I think Portugal will win it. And I think Renato Sanchez is back in the squad, isn't he? And he's just won the league with Lille.
Yeah, Lille. So Everton will be after him. But
with the manager.
The Swansea legend. But yeah, I agree. I think, get to the quarters and we'll probably just be beaten by a team that's not better than us, but 50-50. If we played Portugal, that 11 v 11, come on. Theirs isn't better than ours, but who's winning that game?
Yeah.
You know, it's...
They've just got that grit, haven't they, and that will to win that I don't think we've got yet. And not to write them off before it starts, because obviously I want them to do the best they can do. Finals in Wembley and all the rest of it. But like, if we come up against a Norway, like on Blob Norway, we probably get done. Or Denmark or someone. Like
that's just... Haaland. Yeah, lad, can you imagine fucking John Stones against Haaland? Actually, they did play each other, didn't they, in the Champions League?
He's scary, though.
But I can't remember if Stones played or not. Anyway. So then, we'll end it there then.
Yeah, we'll call it a day on this one. And we'll get another couple up soon. A few more guests lined up for you to get your teeth into. So nice one for the subs and the comments. Some funny ones as well, to be fair. And all of you as well. So have a good one.
Later, lads.
Ah, ta-da.